Well, I'm very thankful this morning that God still walks the dark hills. I don't know when this song was written, but I am very thankful this morning that God is still walking in places that look dark. I began to think about what are these dark hills. And if you've ever been at a distance and looked up at a group of hills with trees on them and it's dusk, that's kind of how I was envisioning it. But look up there and you just could almost just see the silhouette. And to me, it represents a time of loneliness, the times of the storms of life. As we heard in Sunday school, the Sunday school just goes hand in hand with the message this morning. Brother Randy actually covered one of the stories we were going to touch on, so we might save a little time this morning. But the Lord is in those places of life that you are walking through, that we walk through in life, that look lonely, they look desolate. It may be kind of discouraging, but I just want to remind us by the Word of God this morning that God is still in those places. God is still walking. The song that we just sang said, the highways and the byways, those out-of-the-way places. And sometimes in life we find ourselves in places of obscurity and things happening that may seem a little rare. Never been there before, but the Lord is still in the byways. He's walking through the billows of life's troubled seas, through the cold, dark night, the shadows of midnight, the times when things seem the darkest. God is still there. It said He's walking the dark hills for what reason? It says to guide my footsteps. When you may feel like you're by yourself in life with the troubles and the storms and the battles, to know that God is there and He's going to be there to guide us. He's going to be there to direct us. And it says He walks everywhere. Wherever we are this morning in our life, God is there. As the Lord had given me this message, I started to ask myself the question, He's like, where is God? Where is God? You know what the answer is? He's everywhere. In every trial, in every situation, in every battle, God is still there to guide our footsteps. It said He walks in the silence when I don't hear anything. And I'm crying out for leadership. He's walking in the silence. It says, on down the highway. I think some of the best times I've had with God was by myself, driving down the road, just alone with God. And the Lord came into the vehicle and just singing, crying, shouting. I've done all of them. And thank no one was there. I didn't have to worry about what anybody thought about me. But I could just open up my heart to the Lord in whatever way it came. He goes down the highways with us. God walks the dark hill to show me the way. There are times this morning when hope may begin to get a little bit obscured by the difficulties of life. There are some times that hope may grow a little bit dim, but you know, when we can begin to recognize that God is still walking the dark hills, God is still walking in those lonely places, it begins to illuminate our hope. It begins to cause it to be brighter because our reliance is in Christ, is in the Lord, and to know that the Lord has not left us. God has not left His people. The scripture that I remember the past, there's a passage of scripture where they were asking, is God near or is He afar off? It's like, God is not far off. He's here. He's still walking. And as the Lord gave me this message, I'll just share with you how He gave it to me. He began to give it to me along the lines of where God is walking. So I would like to share some places that God is walking this morning. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, very familiar passage of Scripture of comfort. It says, but now thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, and that He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Sunday school. Fear not. Why? For I... Not talking about man now. This is God. And He said, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Have you experienced the security When you're going through the hard times and the Lord comes along and He just calls out your name. Have you ever been in a crowd where you didn't think anybody knew you and all of a sudden you heard your name being called and there was someone that was there that you least expected and they were calling your name? I remember coming back from, where were we, Renee? Coming back from West Virginia. We were coming back from West Virginia and we bypassed the places to eat. The children were getting hungry. Well, we were all getting hungry. And we stopped. We thought, well, where are we going to stop? And we kept waiting. Well, let's find something convenient. And on some of those roads, there's nothing just real convenient. And finally, in some obscure, out-of-the-way little hole in the wall, we went ahead and got off the interstate and drove down the road. And we walked in a Wendy's or McDonald's or something. And who was there but Sister Jeannie and Sister Lene and the girls? It was like, how did they show up here? Do you know that God is in those out-of-the-way places? And if you feel alone, if you will just wait, the Lord is going to come along and you're going to see Him as like, Lord, You are here. I am so thankful that the Lord knows our name. This is where the Lord is walking. Listen to what He said. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You know, I've had more than one person tell me in the last year, and I tend to ask people that too, said, are you keeping your head above water? Do you know that means something different to me than it used to a year ago? Now that Devin had drowned, someone asked me that just last week, and they said, well, that's probably not a very good thing to ask you, is it? But do you know that because the Lord is walking in those places, we can keep our head above water? Even when it seems like we have no strength and it seems like that whether it's the hole down underneath the water and you seeming like it's just pulling you down, we can keep our head above water because the Lord is walking in the water with us. He said, when thou pass through the waters, in other words, I'm walking in the water. I will be with thee and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When you start to feel like you're about to be overwhelmed, that's when the Lord, I'm walking with you. I'm in the water with you. He's not just up on the shore saying, I hope they make it. But the Lord is down there walking with us in the very things that seem like they would just overwhelm and cause us to drown. The Lord's walking in those places. He said, when thou walkest through the fire, He said, thou shalt not be burned. That's impossible without God. But when we go through the things that would just consume us, how can you make it through? The Lord's saying, I'm walking in the fire with you. Neither shall the flame kindle against thee. We don't need to take the time to read it all this morning, but talk about walking in the fire. Who comes to your mind? Three Hebrew children, three young men who had their faith in God, that when the furnace, you understand, the furnace was hot, but there the king Nebuchadnezzar was angry with them, and he made it seven times hotter. There was a situation that someone there was trying to ratchet up the flame. Get it hotter. Do you know the Lord was walking in that fire? And I take note how Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked on there, when they threw those three young men in there, it said he looked on and he was astonished. And he asked those around him, he said, didn't we throw three men in the fire? And he asked the question there. He said, lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I have wondered, how did Nebuchadnezzar, Jesus hadn't even come to earth yet, how did he even know there was a Son of God? There was something about the very presence of Jesus Christ in the fire that other people that didn't even know the Lord were able to look on and say, that must be the Son of God. This morning, where is God walking? He is walking in the midst of the fire. I said earlier, I don't know what all flames you're going through, and I would sometime you walk through the peaceful valley, but I will say, because life is what it is, there's going to be some fire sometimes. But let's not run from the fire. Let's not run from the furnace. Let's not run from the very designs of Satan, because he has designs on all of us. But let's keep walking forward in the Lord and know that God is going to walk with us. If we'll just stay close to the Lord, folks, we can make it, because God is still walking in the fire. There's still a fourth man. Over in John in the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now, the temple was the place that people went to worship. And it said Jesus walked in Solomon's porch. He walked in the shadow or in the shade of the outside. I thought, well, Lord, you walked outside. You know, this morning, there are people all over this country that are filling churches of all kinds of beliefs and doctrines, all kinds of denominations. You've got people that are sincere. You've got hypocrites. You've got people that know very little about God, and churches are full of them. Do you know this morning, while God does not walk in the system, understand, God does not walk in the system that is less than what the Bible teaches. He is walking in the porch for any sincere believers. Maybe if it's the church down the road, the Lord is going to be walking along there in case there's some of those people that are sincere that He could walk with them. I'm so thankful that the Lord is walking in the Solomon's porch, because God is bigger than us. God is walking places that we cannot walk. And we may say, well, they don't have the truth. The system is wrong. The system that doesn't teach the fullness of truth. The system is bankrupt. But there are still people in those systems that Jesus is wanting to walk with them. And He's walking along the porch saying, there's someone coming to the temple. You know, we're free from the Jewish law now. We're free from the law of Moses. But I want to commune with you and I want to walk with you. And the Lord is still walking in Solomon's porch. But further than that, Matthew 18:20, the Scripture says, for where two or three are gathered, what? In My name, there am I in the midst of them. Why do you think Jesus said two or three? I know the Lord knew what He was saying. But how real it is. It's not just enough for us to have two or three. He said, where they are gathered in My name. Where there is a real heart of worship. Where there is a real heart to serve Me. He said, I'm not just walking on the porch now. He said, I'm walking in the midst. I'm going to be in your midst. And I just want to encourage us this morning, although many times God's people on a local basis, there's just a few, I want to remind us that when the Lord is in our midst, I wouldn't trade it for the hundreds if the Lord is in our midst. Lord, help us together in Your name then, because God is still walking with His people. And I know someone just recently was kind of looking at coming and beginning to fellowship with the saints, and they're wanting to know, are you growing? Are you growing like this group over here? Are you all expanding like this group over here? Well, that's a whole nother discussion. But do you realize that what is most important is that we are gathered worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? And if we are doing that, you children, you young people, let's not be discouraged. Yes, we wish there were more, but we want to recognize that the presence of God is worth more. It's worth more than bringing the bands up and having the entertainment and the lights and something to draw the crowd. It's going to be those that are sincere that, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to make heaven. And you get together with people that have that same heart, with all the differences of personality and background in raising, and you're going to find a kinship, because the Lord says, I'm going to be in your midst. Where two or three are gathered, He is still walking with His people, folks. God has not left His people. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. One of the greatest stories of love. One of the first stories of God's love to mankind is where we find God walking in the Garden of Eden. And do you know where we read that? Adam and Eve had just sinned. And we still find God in the garden looking for them. Does that not give us hope for our lost loved ones? Does that not give us courage to know that God has not forsaken the disobedient? That He's walking in the garden and He's saying, "Where are you?" He was still looking for connection. God is still walking in the garden. And yes, there was a curse, there was judgment, but God gave them an avenue to be reconciled back with God through sacrifice. And this morning, as I think about, I know Adam and Eve were hiding from God. They were hiding as people hide today through their own good works. People hide through religion. People hide through the works of the flesh. People hide behind that. But even when they're hiding behind it, to know that the Lord is still walking in the garden, He's saying, "I'm looking for you. Where are you?" And this is the reason why it says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And when we pray for the unsaved, and I know, and again, this is personal, I know the deep pain and burden that comes from lost loved ones who are close. God, when we pray, it gives me courage to know that God's walking in the garden. And He's saying, "I'm not just going to let you stay hiding, but I'm going to keep walking because I want to find you." Don't stop praying. God is still walking in the garden. Luke 19, and if you will allow me to save time not to read all these stories. Jesus was walking down the Jericho road, and there was a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. There was a longing in his heart. He wanted to experience. He'd heard about Him, but he wanted to see Jesus. And we find that because he was short of stature, he couldn't see over the crowd. He couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran to that sycamore tree and he climbed the tree with a desire to see Jesus. And as you read the story, it says when Jesus came down, Jesus stopped. He came to the place, Jesus is walking down the road now, and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he said, "Come down because I'm going to your house." Do you realize that Jesus is still walking that same Jericho road? When we have a desire to see the Lord, there are times maybe we don't see Him. There are times we may say, "Lord, I don't see it like I want." But where there is an honest heart and a desire to see the Lord, when we say, "If I have to climb a tree, if I have to do something that's humiliating to myself, I'm going to do whatever it takes because I want to see the Lord," the Lord's going to come walking down the road. When you search with Him, with what? All of your heart. "I will be found of you," the scripture says. God is still, Jesus is still walking down that Jericho road. And remember, the end was, Jesus told Zacchaeus, "This day salvation is come to thine house." What would have happened if Jesus wouldn't have walked down that road? I don't know, but all I know is this, Jesus did walk down that road. And all I know this morning is that Jesus did walk in the garden, and He did walk in the fire, and He still is walking in those places this morning. Jesus, when He departed Jericho, this is in another book in Matthew in the 20th chapter, you can read it again on your own time, but in the 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 29 to 34, Jesus, as often was, He was surrounded by a multitude. And he was walking down that same Jericho road. I believe he was maybe entering Jericho on that place and the other one he was leaving it, possibly. But he was walking down the road, and all of a sudden there were these two men that had a big need in their life. They were blind men. And they began to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." In the multitude, there are those around that told him to be quiet. Don't bother the master. But it said Jesus heard him and he stopped. And he asked him a question. He said, "What will ye that I do unto you? What do you want me to do?" And they said, and it said Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. What would have happened if Jesus wouldn't have walked down that road? Do you know this morning Jesus is walking down the road and he is still ministering salvation? He's still ministering to the needs of our life. He's still walking down that road. He's still healing and he's still stopping and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you know, there are sometimes I don't even know what I need the Lord to do. I just know He needs to do something. "Lord, I don't even know what to tell You to do, but I need some help." And He will stop and He'll minister. He's still walking down that road. There's another road that it's one of my favorite roads. Not one of my favorite roads to walk on. But it's a road I've been on before personally. And Jesus came walking down the road. And that is the road to Emmaus. The Emmaus Road. I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus is still walking the Emmaus Road. What significance is Emmaus? Jesus had died. He was crucified. Hope was gone. They didn't know what the future held. We left our nets. We left everything that we had to follow You, Lord, and now You're dead. Where are we going to go? And so they turn and they left Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where Jesus was buried, right? It's where He was in the tomb. They left the place where they had experienced the blessings of the Lord. Because, and you know how, have you ever done something and felt like you'd given something to the Lord and then it just went sour? And you're kind of like, "Lord, why? Why, Lord? We left, we sacrificed, we did." And so you start walking down the road of disappointment. The Emmaus Road, leaving where you were, just going down a road. They say they don't even know where Emmaus is today. They know how many miles it was from Jerusalem, but there were more than one Emmaus. And sometimes you start walking down a road, you don't even know where you're going. It's, "Lord, I don't know where I'm going. I just know I'm hurting and I'm disappointed." And Jesus came and He walked with those two disciples and He began to expound the Scripture to them. And their hearts begin to burn inside of them. And they say, "Oh, don't leave us for the night. I want You to stay here with us and talk to us." They didn't know it was Jesus. And they sat down to eat and Jesus blessed it. He blessed the food. And when they opened their eyes, He was gone. And they realized that was the Messiah. That was Jesus. He had a glorified body. They didn't recognize Him. Something was keeping them from seeing Jesus at the time. But then they begin to talk and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Do you remember where they went? They did not keep heading for Emmaus. They turned around and went right back where they came from. They went back to Jerusalem because their hope was back. They weren't discouraged anymore because Jesus walked down the road to Emmaus with us. Oh, this morning I want you to know when you get on the road to Emmaus, and there are going to be times you're going to find yourself on that road, Jesus is still walking the Emmaus Road. Oh, if there's anything that will get me stirred up, it's talking about the Emmaus Road. The Lord will come and you can start feeling your heart burn within when you felt like sitting down on the couch. And you said, "I can't, how can I go any further?" And the Lord comes along and you start feeling the burn inside again. And He revives you and renews you and encourages you and inspires you and enables you to get up and go back. Go back to where you came from and keep doing what God wants you to do. Oh, thank the Lord that He's still walking the Emmaus Road. We could stay there, but let's keep walking. There are times in life this morning, as the song said, that God walks in silence. As we mentioned last Sunday in the message, Job, when he was looking for God and he looked in front and he looked behind, he looked to the right and he looked to the left and he didn't see God. But he knew the way that I take. God was still walking, but he was there in silence. And if you this morning know that you love God with all of your heart, see, that's the key, that we know that I know I'm serving the Lord. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, but it seems so silent. Now, if the silence is because of disobedience, that's where it takes self-introspection and honesty with ourselves. But when we know that, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want me to do, I'll do, but Lord, you're silent. I just want to remind us this morning is that God is still walking with you. Even when it's silent. He hasn't left us. He is still walking in the lonely places. Paul and Silas, do you remember when they began to sing and praise? It was at midnight. And they were in stocks. In other words, they were bound up. But God was still with them. One night, I dreamed. I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, and other times there was just one set of footprints. And this bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish and sorrow or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. And so I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you'd walk with me always. But I noticed that during the most trying times and periods of my life, there's only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, were you not there for me? And the Lord replied, the times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I care. Jesus is still walking with his people. And when it feels like you may be all alone and nobody understands, and you may even feel that nobody cares, that's usually not true. But you can feel that way sometimes. Jesus is right there and he's carrying you. And when you get on the other side, you can look back. And you could see at those low places when you didn't know how you could make it, you will remember that the Lord had me in his arms and he carried me. I'd like to close with pointing back to the scripture that Brother Randy read to us this morning. When Jesus was walking on the sea, it said that boat, it said that it was the wind, they were tossed with waves and the wind was contrary. That word, tossed with waves in the Greek, it means grievously agitated, plunged under. In other words, it wasn't just that little gentle sway, but it was grievously agitated, almost to the point that the waves were just going over the top, almost plunging it under the waves and coming out. It would be reason to be afraid. But at that time, as we already heard in Sunday school, Jesus came walking on the water. So wherever you are this morning, I hope you're not in the garden where there's disobedience. But if we are, God's walking in the garden. He's walking in the garden. And for our lost loved ones that we are so burdened for, it gives me hope and it gives me courage to know God's still out there. He's still calling their name. He's still searching for them. And when you are disappointed and discouraged, Jesus is still walking the Emmaus Road. And when you have need of healing, he's still walking the road of Jericho. And he's still walking the other side of Jericho when you just need a desire to see the Lord. I need to see him. I need communion. I am so thankful that God has not left us by ourselves, that he is still walking right beside us this morning.